Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about the power of one person, just the impact that one person can make, either for good or for evil. One person can make a tremendous impact. We're going to be taking a look at some scriptures that talk about the power of one person today. But the way we do these daily communions, if you're new to us here, we always get started with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1. And the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still, to listen, to examine ourselves, to get our hearts and minds in a good place before we get into our time of communion for today. But let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us, and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and your grace and your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people everywhere we go, and hopefully people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us, help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So we're going to go through the other half of prayer. And our first step is getting positioned in the light. We've been released from darkness, transferred into the light. That transfer happens through the forgiveness of sins. We got to get that grace and forgiveness, receiving it from God, letting it flow through us to other people. That forgiveness and grace has to flow through three levels. We have to be receiving it from God, giving it to ourselves, letting it flow through us to other people. So the first step, just receiving that grace and mercy and forgiveness from God. If there's anything that you need to go to him for, we can always come boldly to the throne of grace. He won't turn us away. If we'll come to him, we'll always receive grace and mercy. And then giving that same grace and mercy and love and forgiveness to yourselves. We often put all this pressure on ourselves to have these high expectations of ourselves. We beat ourselves up and condemn ourselves. We're often our own worst critic. And learning to take that pressure off of ourselves, just like God has taken that pressure off of us, taking that pressure off of us. And when we do that, this heaviness begins to lift off of us. And his grace and his love and his power begin to flow through us. Then it's simply about letting it flow through you to other people, giving other people that same grace and forgiveness and love that he's given you. Which means what? We got to let some things go. We got to release some things. We've been released from darkness. We got to let some things go that people have done to us, that we've done to ourselves, maybe even. We got to let some of those things go and just begin to walk in that light, in that unconditional love and grace and mercy, just looking to do good all the time. And when you do this, you begin to make that turn and that shift, and you're just focused on doing continually good all the time. Don't underestimate, if I can get the words out here, underestimate the power of one person, the power of what you can do, of what God can do through you, when you just make it your goal to just do good every day. just doing good every day. So we're going to begin to get positioned in that light. Then we have to magnify that light. And that all comes through what we focus on. In this world, we can choose to magnify light or we can choose to magnify darkness. How do we know how to do that? When we magnify light, we're focused on what's good. We're focused on what's lovely. We're focused on light and God and what's lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and of good report. We're focused on God's word and we're meditating on that. We're rolling it over on our minds. We're pondering it. We're imagining it. We're thinking on it. We're rehearsing it. And the light begins to grow brighter and brighter. But God gives us the choice. He gives us the free will. We can choose to focus on darkness. We can choose to see everything that's wrong in a situation. We can focus on evil and darkness and things to complain about, things to gossip about, all the things that people are doing wrong. We can focus on those. And there's no end to those things that you can find on that side either. And the more you do that, the more the darkness begins to grow bigger on the inside of you. We want to begin to magnify that light. One of the ways that we can do that today is just taking a few minutes to write down some things that you're grateful for. When you're focused on light, it leads to gratitude. When you're focused on darkness, it leads to complaining. Which one are you focused on? What are a few things that you're grateful for today? Just taking a few minutes to write a few things down. And then what's going well? What steps forward have you taken in your life? What ways have you seen God come through in your life? Taking a minute just to think on your wins, your testimonies, the things that have gone well. Often we get focused on all the things that went wrong, or we get focused on, you know, all the steps we have to take in the future. And that looks big and overwhelming and it feels heavy. Just look at how far God has brought you already in your life. These are ways that we can stay focused on the light. And then that light is going to begin to show up in the fruit of your emotions, in the fruit of your lips, and what you talk about every day. What you're magnifying, what you're meditating on is going to begin to show up in your emotions and the fruit of your lips and in your actions. And so it's a good time to examine our emotional state. How are your levels of peace and joy over the last 24 hours? And it's like a light switch. Either God's supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding is flowing in your life, or it's not. And it all has to do with what you're magnifying. All has to do with what you're focused on, what you're meditating on, what you're thinking on all day long. As we begin to focus on the light, you'll experience that supernatural peace and joy flowing through you. When we get focused on darkness, all of a sudden you'll feel that peace and joy begins to leave you. And so it's learning to experience it first and then getting it to the point where we're sustaining it for longer and longer periods throughout the day, where we get to this point where we're just in a continual state of peace and joy, and it's unbroken. No matter what's going on around you, you can have that peace and joy flowing because you choose to focus on God and to magnify Him as bigger than the problems. That light always overcomes the darkness. Yes, you might have troubles in this life, but be of good cheer because Jesus has overcome the world. So then what do you know to do today? As we focus on the light, what do you know to do today? Not the things you are uncertain on, not the things you're still unclear on. When we're in the light, we can see. What do you know to do today? Might be some administrative things, some things you need to do around the house, some things in your workplace. Maybe there's some things God's prompting on the inside of you, some kind of project or step of faith. Maybe there's some things on the inside that you say, you know what? I just know I need to do that. I've been meaning to do that. I know I need to do that. God's been talking to me about that, but I haven't done it yet. And how could you just take one step forward in that thing today? And then there's two parts of this. Number one, doing the things that you know to do, taking action on them. Most people procrastinate. Taking action on them day by day, consistently, and then doing them the right way. Doing them the right way with peace and joy and cheerfulness, with a good attitude. Because why? Because we're trusting that as God is prompting me, showing me what to do in my life, I'm trusting that not only do I have to do it, I don't have to do it anymore in my own strength. God's right there with me to help me execute the things that I know to do. He's equipping me and empowering me and anointing me to do the things that I know to do, but to do it in His strength, to do it in His power. That's we enter into that rest where He's doing the work through us. And that's a very powerful place to step into. And then what's God been teaching you or showing you over the last 24 hours? Every day He's trying to teach us. He's trying to train us. He's trying to lead us to this spacious, beautiful place that's free from all restriction. And it's his voice that leads us along that path. And he begins to stack one lesson, one step on top of another. He just begins to lead us out to this beautiful place. But that requires us taking the time to listen, to tune into him. So if you need to pause the recording, you can. Just taking a few minutes to get still and to listen. What's he been teaching you or showing you over the last 24 hours? And if you don't know, just ask him, God, what is it you've been trying to teach me or show me over the last 24 hours? And then just take a couple minutes to listen. And whatever comes to mind, we just asked him a question. Whatever comes to mind immediately, just write it down. You begin to do this day by day. It teaches you how to discern what he's speaking to you, how to hear his voice. So this morning when I woke up, two passages of scripture, two different ones, one Old Testament, one New Testament, talking about the power of one person. This is a concept that I've written about before. I believe it's in my book, The Eighth Date, and in my book, The Pockets of Prosperity. Just the power of one person, how they can impact the entire world, entire communities of people for good or for evil. So let's take a look at these two passages of scripture. This is coming from Joshua chapter 22, verses 18 and 20. The people have taken the promised land. They've settled into the promised land. But a few of the tribes of Israel, they wanted the land that was before the promised land on the other side of the Jordan River. And the agreement with Moses was, we'll go over and fight with you. They'd already been given their land. We'll go over and fight with you to help the other tribes of Israel take the promised land. And then when we're done, we're going to go back to our land. So they go in, they help their brothers take the land, and they're all done. They start heading back to their land. Well, when they're on their way back to their land, they realize that they've made a mistake, that their land is on the other side of the Jordan River. And they build this altar, this monument to God, to let it be a symbol that they're part of Israel as well. So they realize that they made a mistake. And so all of Israel becomes angry because they feel like they're building an altar to God to begin worshiping other gods, to do it differently than what God has told them. And here's what they say. Here's why they get angry. They said, if you rebel against the Lord today, tomorrow he'll be angry with the whole community of Israel. Notice, if you guys rebel, the whole community pays the price. You guys rebel, the whole community pays the price. If the land you possess is defiled, come back over to the Lord's land where the Lord's tabernacle stands and share the land with us. But do not rebel against the Lord or against us by building an altar for yourselves other than the altar of the Lord our God. And now they're going to say, don't you remember when Achan, the son of Zerah, was unfaithful in regard to the devoted things? Did not the wrath come on the whole community of Israel? He was not the only one who died for his sin. So this is referring to the story when the Israelites began to cross over into the promised land. One of the first events that happened was they took the city of Jericho. Remember, they walked around the city of Jericho seven times and the walls came crumbling down. Well, God told them, when you take the plunder from all of Jericho, you're not to keep any of it. Bring it all into the Lord's tabernacle. Give it all to the Lord. Think of it like the first fruits. It's all supposed to go to God. Well, one guy, every single person in the community followed that command. But one guy, Achan, son of Zerah, was unfaithful. He took some of the things. He took some of the clothes and some pieces of gold and silver and things that he was coveting, and he buried them underneath his tent. And then when the Israelites went to try to fight their next battle, they got defeated. And Joshua was crying out saying, what's going on, God? Why? You brought us into this land. Now we're losing the battle. What's going on? And the whole community was in trouble because this one guy had taken the devoted things. So one guy impacted the whole community. He was not the only one who died for his sin. One guy impacted the whole community. Now let's take a look at another passage of scripture. This is Romans chapter 5, talking about the difference between Adam. Adam was one man and his sin brought death to the whole world. But Jesus, by his righteousness, by his grace and his righteousness, brings life to the whole world. So it says here, but the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, notice, death reigned through Adam. Adam's sin caused death to come to everybody. How much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through that one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass, one sin, resulted in condemnation for all people, one sin resulted in condemnation for everybody, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners. We were all made sinners because of Adam. But also through the obedience of the one man, Jesus, the many will be made righteous. The many will be made righteous. So we're going to be taking communion over this today. Just that Jesus, through his one gift, through his one sacrifice, through his obedience of the one man, we've been made righteous. And we're going to read this here. For by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man. But how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? That's Romans 5:17. We'll read it one more time. Those who receive God's, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? I believe it's in Hebrews 10. It talks about his one sacrifice. It makes us righteous. It makes us holy. It makes us perfect forever. That we can stand, even sit in God's presence. He made us right and holy and perfect to be able to approach God with freedom and confidence. We can come boldly to the throne of grace. And by his one sacrifice, he makes you righteous and perfect forever. And it's what? It's a gift of righteousness. The provision, abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness can cause you to reign in life. One person's actions resulted in this tremendous gift. And what's our role in this? We have to receive this, just like we talked about with forgiveness, receiving this from God, the abundant provision of grace, those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness, letting this be received. So as we take communion today, this is going to be receiving this, the abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness through the one man, Jesus Christ, through his one sacrifice, receiving that and then letting it flow through us, taking that pressure off of us. We're not right because of anything we've done in our own self. We're right with God because of his abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness. And then letting that righteousness flow through us to empower us to do good. It's grace that teaches us how to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. That's in the book of Titus. It's grace that teaches us to say no to ungodly living, to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. Letting that grace and righteousness begin to flow through you, to empower you to do the things that you know to do, where you go about doing good. And then you're going to be like Jesus, where you're one person, but as you go about doing good, you're going to have an impact for good for many on people all over the world. We're going to let that flow through you. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this bread, for your abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness, that we could reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And we're just receiving that from you today, Lord. We thank you for your just steadfast love and that nothing is impossible with you. That you sent your one and only Son, that you loved us so much, that you were willing to send him to die for us, that we might have life, eternal life, abundant life. And if you would do that, how would you not freely give us all things, richly to enjoy? We just thank you for it, Lord. And we just thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he told his disciples, "Take it, receive it, receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness, that he makes you reign in life through him, that through his body he reconciled you to God." And we can have this covenant relationship with him where he's with you and he's for you. He's right there with you, helping you to do today the things that you know to do, and to do them in his strength and his power. I believe as you do that, helps you to know him on a whole new level, where you know his heart, his goodness, his love, his intentions for you. Just know him on a whole new level. So if you have your bread, you can take your bread here. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that transfers us into the light, where we can have this covenant relationship with him. There's purpose, there's grace, there's righteousness in there, there's life in there, all because of the obedience of the one man. So Jesus, we just thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your obedience and all that you went through for us. Father, we just ask you to bless this cup in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right, so now it's about walking it out. Receiving that abundant provision of grace, the gift of righteousness, letting it flow through you out into the world to other people, where he equips you and empowers you to do good today. And as you do that, you go about doing good every day. You're going to impact people all over the world for good. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.